So, what is it that I said about Bankstead? Curiosity and elegance. So those, I think, are terms to bear in mind with Wade Guyton, and for me to decide whether how curious I am and how elegant it feels. I felt certainly that the sculpture was a very curious object and possibly indeed an elegant one. With the paintings, I think I'm going to call them paintings. With the paintings, I felt a real throwback to what must have felt like what it might have felt like, all of us are too young, to have seen the first minimalist works in the 1960s, to think, is this the energy of something classic moved to a new level, or is this a traduction of something that is now in the canon and somehow being mocked by this scale and this curious approach? With Guyton, there's an anxiety. It's the anxious objects, I think, in Harold Rosenberg's sense, that they really throw it all back at you standing there in the gallery. And I felt, okay, there's a tipping point here at which, if I leave at this moment aesthetically unsatisfied, I'll spend the rest of the day thinking, if only you, instead of giving it 16 minutes, you'd given it 17 minutes, the wool would have fell from your eyes. And beyond that tipping point, if I stayed for, say, 18 minutes and left, I'd think, you may as well have stayed for 18 seconds for what you got in 18 minutes. So that's my two cents work on Wade Guyton. But I'm ready to be corrected and put in my place by you, Hrag. Tell me, what am I missing?
I don't think you're missing much. I mean, to be quite honest, it was such an underwhelming show. I mean, that the sculpture is a recreation of the Carnegie Museum's coat check counter. I mean, I was like, who cares? I mean, I didn't find the work on the wall, which I think are supposed to be printed according to your wall. I think there's like, it would be printed so that it would fit your wall perfectly. So it's not like you just bought the thing or something, which I guess is trying to play with this idea of like, you know, you sort of churn them out, you know, sort of this, you know, this sort of Warholian thing or something. But I mean, I didn't find them interesting. I thought, you know, the whole idea he used the same files that he used in 2007 and he just blew them up. Yeah, with a new printer because his printer is wider. I mean, it was sort of like, okay, I mean,
it goes up to 11.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was just like, I who cares? I mean, you know, I mean, I didn't think they were interesting on the surface. I didn't think they were interesting. I mean, it was sort of a good idea, but as objects, they were lackluster. I mean, I don't know. Should I keep going on? I mean,
well,
did you notice that like the only real markings on them were essentially sort of like where the linen gets stuck in the printer, like the way your paper gets stuck in the printer. So it sort of drags the fucking ink. It's pathetic.
I was hoping they were going to be dot matrix. That would have been cool.
Yes, a real throwback. Yes. Christina, what are we missing?
Ooh, maybe ideas associated with previous works or potential brought up in previous works that I think this might be my fault because I think I put his name forward as somebody interesting to discuss, but I share the exact same impressions of the show. It is so underwhelming is the right word. And I was also very interested in the idea of, is this what people must have thought when they saw minimalist art, in the sense that, you know, a lot of people said, well, there's just nothing there. And I was, you know, I went through the same process or something similar, David, when I saw these, because I thought, well, there's really nothing to look at. I mean, I've really tried. The surface marks are not interesting. The folds are not interesting. The fact that it's in a corner is not interesting. They're unbelievably light. When you think of someone like Sarah, you know, say, pencil drawing, which has this incredible weight and depth and interest. I mean, they look like they're about to float away. They seem so inconsequential. So I think that the thing about Wade Guyton is if he is an interesting artist, and in the past, I think there's, you know, a lot of potential there for something interesting. I think his project still depends on the work having some visual weight, some impact. And if they just seem inconsequential, then the project falls short. So no, I'm afraid I don't have much to add.
It seems so actually our very criticisms, and this is could be said to be a success for minimal or conceptual work, if one's very criticisms and dismissals of something generate the possibilities of what it is that one's missed. Because actually, it did seem to me, well, of course, the surface increment was arbitrary, and we all know how and why it's generated, but nonetheless, it's not totally, it's reductive, but it's not minimalist. It's in that there is surface, some sort of surface, something going on, but one, I was about to use the word tension, but it's in fact, of course, completely free of tension, but nonetheless, incremental or incidental sort of drags happening. And so then one is left to think, okay, should I invest in that drag, or am I to look past that drag? So,
but David, you know, I didn't feel like I missed anything. I have to say, I didn't feel like, oh, I need to keep staring at this at all. I felt like it was really, I mean, underwhelming is sort of a nice way of saying it. It was sort of like, okay, you know, it was like, okay, I could throw a party in here maybe. You know, that's what I was thinking.
It made you appreciate the space.
Yeah,
yes.
That's it. Pretty much.
I mean, in a roundtable discussion at Art Critical on the work of Christopher Wool, I said, Christopher Wool makes you appreciate Robert Motherwell. And I feel that Wade Guyton is making me appreciate Christopher Wool. I mean, I'm in the Wade Guyton show, I started remembering what I had seen and not liked but was beginning to like in Christopher Wool. But is Christopher Wool nonetheless sort of to blame for Wade Guyton? Let me put that forward as a possibility. Because look, Wade Guyton's getting a lot of play. He's getting an incredibly beautiful space to work in. He's had a retrospective at the Whitney. He's got auction records, I guess, to go with all this endeavor. He's got Jerry Saltz singing his praise. Who is to blame if we're all dissatisfied, Christian?
You know, I'm never, in a certain sense, it's like the subprime mortgage crisis. We're all to blame. I'm never really shocked by how much the art world invests, how much hankering they have for the effectless gesture. And I think Guyton is the guy today. You know, I haven't seen emptier pieces of work passing for art since, you know, Warhol's dollar bill signs. You know, I just think they're terrible. They're absolutely terrible. I think they're really very emblematic of the moment. The kind of attention they get, the massively disproportionate attention they get, both financially and I think media-wise, I think sort of speaks for itself. You know, I think looking back, we'll probably be remembered for having put up with this.
Or it will be the Rothko Chapel, and people say, it's amazing. People actually were in that space and looking at that work, and they didn't have that transcendental spiritual experience.
Well,
they were going to see animations
that
and things?
That might be an interesting point. If it didn't turn out that these paintings in particular were made to be installed upright, among other sort of bits of nonsense associated with this work, that they were installed horizontally basically sort of gives you a sense of just how easy it is not only to sort of make the work, but to install the work, appreciate the work. It's a bit of a morality play, to be perfectly frank with you, the fact that we just sort of put up with this and just let it run, you know?
So is let's try to put aside the fact that we all hate it and look at it objectively and say, what could it be trying to do for us? I mean, if we really wanted to persuade ourselves that this was useful and significant.
I have what will we say? Quote from Holland Cotter, who said very nice things about it, which I think bears reading. That apparently he takes modernism, that Guyton takes modernism with its touchy-feely spiritual pretensions for a hard ride. And as always, he goes well beyond the one-line put-down. That's the praise. Okay. I personally don't see any... I mean, I think this work is the epitome of mannerism, right? This is the guy I was sort of pointing to before. It's basically significantly referential, I would say, not even of specific artists, of Sarah or of Kelly or of anybody else sort of doing, you know, monochromatic work, but just of the attitude, of the atmospherics of sort of modern, late modernism, you know, or even of certain postmodern stances. But I don't get where the put-on is or where the joke really sort of exists or where the sarcasm sort of appears. I don't see it. Maybe you do, David. I think you love the work secretly.
Does Holland... I'd want to get Holland Cotter on here and say, come on, sir, please. Are you telling us that he's offering us a needed critique and riposte to Agnes Martin? What harm has Agnes Martin done to you? I mean, really, I don't understand what he's saying in that quote. What I'd like to talk about is whether this work is within it, whether this work is to be taken as formal work or whether it is a sort of conceptual conceit, whether it's a joke. Yes, please.
Venture, because when I saw the show at the Whitney, I did think that some works succeeded formally, which is perhaps neither here nor there. The question's open for me whether they're meant to do that. Seems to me they function as interesting objects when they do have a kind of formal impact, namely shape or picture. He's influenced, he says, from the pictures generation. I think they do really interesting work. So there's different angles to approach it. This show does not offer any angles. I mean, the show really is a big zip for me, but his earlier works, I think there are some elements that could be seen as interesting. Jerry Saltz had a nice line. I don't have a direct quote, but he uses the phrase, allowing us to see the ghost in the machine. I think he references that, and I do think that when there's a good Guyton painting or something that has a real impact, one experiences it like an abstract, with this incredible formal strength and this gesture and this mark, yet you know it's made by a printer. It doesn't hide that. The printer is boring to me, but the idea that the stroke is mediated, there's many painters that have done a mediated stroke, but I do think in Guyton's case, sometimes when he nails it, and it's this very interesting moment where you don't know where the painting begins and ends. Where is the artistic impulse within that stream? And then what is it one is experiencing? I think that can be a pretty interesting line of viewing, so to speak, when it works. But, I don't think there's any... I almost feel like there's no excuse for this show. It's not even an impressive failure because he's done things like this before. I don't understand this show.
It seems he's almost critiquing his own earlier work with this work, because in his own earlier work, one was on that fence of thinking, I better stay because this could be interesting. It's not interesting, but it could be interesting. Or it isn't interesting me, but it should have interested me. So that sort of detained you to look and think and feel and experience, even though one was grappling with negativity. And this show seems to push it further, saying, sorry, I almost intrigued you before, this won't.
I think if I were to think of like the most interesting aspect to, I mean, I sort of imagine this sort of like workshop, like almost he's working at a loom, pulling out these like fabrics from the loom, and it's sort of like selling them by the yard or something. I mean, that's kind of as interesting as it gets for me, so that's kind of...
Gestures.
Right, exactly. But I mean, they're just not interesting objects. I don't think the concept is strong. I think repeating yourself in this kind of work is pretty monotonous. I just think they're theoretically weak. I mean, I really do. I think as objects are not interesting, theoretically they're pretty weak. There was this interesting idea. You know, I would venture to guess digital natives won't like them as much as, you know, digital immigrants, just because I feel like there isn't that sort of excitement with this kind of digital material, you know, and I think they're not that interesting, you know? And I think they might be interesting to someone going, oh, someone doesn't have to put a paintbrush on the, you know, in their paintings as opposed to prints, or who cares? You know, it's so that's my instinct of, you know.
Well, you know, and as printer technology sort of develops, these things may look sort of, I mean, I think he's already dealing with sort of like old-time printers, yeah? They may look like Courier Archangels to us, which I think isn't great, you know? Courier Archangels is this guy who basically sort of used to intervene old video games. And personally, when I look at those pieces now, they look very, very dated.
Whereas Rembrandt, using old paint, doesn't look dated. Well, he looks period without looking dated. So that's,
can I say something?
Yeah, please.
I think there's definitely this tendency that I've been thinking a lot about this art that's actually, we're not labeling retro, and maybe we should, you know, because I think retro is about sort of creating this sort of experience of the near past and somehow making it feel new, or, you know, in a sense of nostalgia. And I think people mistake that for other things, you know, whether it's a critique or whether they're mistaking it for some sort of historical precedent or something. And I think the urge for retro is really appealing. I mean, we all have it, you know, but it's not more than that. You know, this is
the knee-jerk response to referentiality is to imagine that it's a critique, you know, immediately.
Whereas it might just be a recycling.
Where it might be a really crappy recycling. And what you call retro, I'm sort of calling mannerism. It's basically sort of the same thing. It's, I think it's sort of all over. I mean, I think Blake mentioned the way it might be all over in some kind of new version of Bauhaus experimentalism. And I think he's right about that. And I remember this sort of coming onto the scene with the Benami Biennial, where they actually sort of like talked about, and I'm trying to remember what they called it. They didn't call it ultramodernism because that would have been too smart. They called it personal modernism, something like that. So that everyone sort of got to apply their own sort of subjectivity to this thing, which is obviously sort of by definition a universal movement. That's sort of totally sort of oxymoronic, right? But I think that's essentially what we're seeing. We're seeing sort of a real development from that sort of breakout moment. To now, because that's basically what's in the galleries, and particularly, I would say, or at least in my experience, all over the Lower East Side, even more than Chelsea. That's sort of what passes for the new, sort of by definition, right?
Yeah, I feel like I want to put up a bit of a defense of mannerism, both historically and as a possibility for contemporary art. You've bashed on about bad mannerism, good Baroque, all evening, Christian. And if I really gave you a choice between a Caravaggio and a Pontormo, would you really take the Caravaggio home? So,
apples and oranges.
Right. I just think that mannerism was, firstly, meant a lot more than
simply. I totally agree with you.
Recycling. So, but also, I would also say that. Sure, it's always going to feel refreshing to have authenticity when one is overwhelmed by critique, referentiality, and recycling, and art about art.
So you agree with that?
So they are the easiest target. And yet, a lot of the greatest art is art about art, does make copious reference, does distort margin fractionally what we're kind of used to give us something unexpected and new. So let's just be very art historically cautious before sort of writing off the impulse to move things forward by critiquing and playing with what comes from the past. We'd lose most of Picasso if we did.
Oh, God forbid I should do that.
But I mean, you talk about the best examples. I mean, I think in some ways, you know, you should compare the weakest of both movements. And I think weak mannerist works are much worse than weak Baroque works. They tend to be really, really didactic.
How many Spanish churches have you been in recently?
I still think the mannerist works are worse. I mean, the really bad ones. I mean, you know, I think they become really schlocky and they become like really stiff, you know, in a way that at least Baroque has a little bit of something in it, but
Well, yeah, Mannerismo has suffered from the fact that the word is then applied just as the word academic. You know, Mannerism, academic, at their very best, are as good as any other movement, but the words then lend themselves to, we used to use the word academic, then we started using the word Mannerist. I would just say...
Even back in the day, it wasn't exactly a compliment, so, you know.
Well, okay, but I think... For the sake of Angra and Pontormo, we should be more careful when we say academic or Mannerist. That's all I'm saying. But also, the point I just made about the strong possibility for richness and humor and imagination and moving it forward by stepping back is always going to be there. And so that's probably what was going through Wade Guyton's mind, that he could be playing a game with some of the expectations that went with minimal art at its most cerebral and conceptual. So, I mean, is he in a way kind of another side of... If I could put forward an artist who is kind of the complete opposite of Wade Guyton, but in the same territory, it would be somebody like Rebecca Quaitman, who's very much takes us back to the energy of that primary moment of playing with concepts of conceptual art. And but she's lively. She's a good egg. We like her. She's doing something good. But actually, if one really reduces it right down, there is a comparable energy, but negative or positive in the way that those two artists play with the minimal and the conceptual legacies.